Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Loose Units Origins, the weekly bonus episode of Loose Units, where Dad and I catch up and just sort of talk nonsense to help keep you all company through the lockdown. I'm a writer, Dad's an ex-cop, and we get along very well. Dad, one of the really nice things about last year was the fact that you and I got to kind of start this bonus podcast, right? I mean, we began a second weekly podcast to kind of help people through the lockdown. You know, COVID aside, it was a really weird year, but Acast, who are the wonderful folks who distribute and, you know, help us get Loose Units made and help us get it out there, sent us this sort of lovely mood board with all the statistics for Loose Units over 2020. And would you like to tell listeners how many times people listened to our show in the year 2020?
Well, Paul, I was driving in my ute about an hour ago.
Yep.
And for those people that are listening today, which is actually tomorrow, just add another day to that little thing about the hour. So I'm driving along, coming back from an ocean run and soft sand. Did I just say an ocean run?
You can run on the ocean if you're fast enough, I think.
It was sort of an apocalyptic morning and the seas had frozen over.
Mm-hmm. You could run.
I could have run over it. So I'm coming back and you sent me this kind of, like, I won't say weird, but it was sort of an unusual sort of segmented screen.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a number, and I'm driving, remember, so it comes up on the phone automatically, and it just said 2.1. And I thought, well, Paul doesn't just send me this stuff randomly, because you're very concise as to what you send me. And I thought, I'll pull over. So I pulled over in a leafy suburb in Sydney, and I had a look at the fine print, mm-hmm. and it said number of views or listens, downloads, for last year was 2.1 million. And I was so excited that I almost teared up.
It's a lot of people.
I'm serious, Paul. And then in amongst all these statistics was something that struck me as being kind of really, really nice.
Yeah.
And that was that our largest group of people in the world that's really increasing quite exponentially is from a particular country that starts with an A. Can you guess what that country is?
Oh, well, I mean, I'd like to pretend I don't know, but I'm the one who sent you the thing. Yeah, it's America, our biggest. I mean,
unbelievable.
We have
unbelievable.
Isn't that great? And I mean, I didn't realize we had so many American
Paul,
listeners.
I had no idea, but it kind of warmed the cockles of my heart.
Oh, that's gross. But
in that, mm-hmm. I think that Australia, the way we tell stories here,
yeah,
is pretty special. And I would like to send a shout out to the 2 million or so people.
3.1 million, baby.
In this world of ours.
Yep.
The known universe at this stage, that although it's possible that, well, it is possible that we are listened to on other planets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
It's unlikely.
I think Acast's sort of remit as far as charting podcast traffic doesn't go past Ursa Minor. So we're only copying. I mean, there's probably more past that point. Mm. I would like to build a Voyager-esque spacecraft and whack us on a golden record. And send us out into the cosmos and see who listens. Mm. You know,
I've really Everyone knows, and I know I say a lot of things, I am fairly repetitive. I'm aware of that, listeners, but I would like to reiterate my deep, heartfelt, sincere thanks and immense appreciation to all of you. It means so much to Paul and me.
Mm, really, thank
and,
you very
and,
much.
And thank you, Acast, for having the faith in us. And we're here for the long haul.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But this is an absolutely insane endeavor. And thank you, everyone, for last year. You just, you know, you I mean, we did this show to get you through it, but the fact is that you got us through it, really. This doing the show twice a week was such a lifesaver. And launching Electric Blue, launching a second book during lockdown was hellishly hard. And the support and the numbers and the sales have been really great. And the fact that you all continue to buy the book and... Oh, also, someone sent me some screenshots from the Kindle version of Electric Blue. And there are points in Electric Blue, no spoilers, where you can actually sort of decide some stuff. And what was nice on the Kindle version is that you could actually click on parts to get zapped to those pages. And it was just, I didn't realize. And then there's the audiobook version, which has original music in it. I mean, there's so many different versions of things we've done this year, you know. And it almost makes up for the lack of live shows. But please rest assured, the second this country is open for business, we are going to be doing live shows. Mm. Dad and I have been trapped at opposite ends of the country. Well, not opposite ends of the country. We've been trapped over the kind of Vic, New South Wales border for, you know, almost a year now.
Mm.
And it's getting really old. But the one thing that's sort of gotten us through it is Loose Units. So, yeah, from Dad and myself, please accept our heartfelt thanks. Now, I have a question here, Dad, from a listener, and this is from Dave. Hi, Paul and John. I only just discovered the book on Audible and the podcasts. Love listening. I was a cop at Mossman and North Sydney in the late 80s, early 90s. Has John got any character, and he's put character in rabbit fingers, got any character-based stories of some of the fucking lunatic cops from that era, like Ray Hill, who was so lazy he would tell members of the public to fuck off if they tried to report anything, the mad Irish Sergeant Tom Flatley, Nail Mayo, who put a deceased warb in the boot of a cop car and dumped it in Chatswood area, etc. There are some hilarious stories attached to these lunatic coppers. Dave.
Dave, you're great. Love it. I would love to, if in the future, in some time, in this infinite future, if we were ever to maybe chat with someone, I'd love to chat with you. Because I worked with police officers that were so unbelievably, I just really struggle to find words. And in fact, it brings up a lot of emotions when I talk about this, because I saw things that defied description. And I used to think and ask myself as a young police officer, how on earth did some of these people get into the police force? Were they walking past headquarters and there was this sort of hook on the end of a stick that just randomly came out of police headquarters and hooked them by the neck at random and just pulled them in, measured them up and said, "You're in." Is that what happened back then? I worked with a police officer that when he used to get stressed, he did one of two things. He'd either put his jacket right over his head so you couldn't see his face, and he would turn around so it looked like someone who had no head, and then he would just start gyrating in front of the public.
And when you then, say wait, when you say gyrating, is this a dance of some sort?
Sort of a dance.
Like a traumatized rocking back and forth?
Yeah, sort of someone that had been given a massive electric shock. And he would just flip out. That same person, in fact, there's a whole... I know I've told you a few stories about this particular person because he went to work at other police stations. He was insane. And to make matters worse, Paul... My father taught him, and
that's weird.
Dad, I know you're listening to these podcasts from wherever you are. this student of yours was a misfit. You know how in movies and TV shows, and it's a bit of a cliched thing perhaps, but I got to witness this for the very first time when this same officer, one night at North Sydney Police Station, when he just couldn't cope anymore, he turned 90 degrees to the right and he pretended to walk down a set of stairs into a basement.
Wait, like the thing that Mike Myers does in Austin Powers. Correct. He did to get away actual...
He really did that to make out that he was going down into the basement of North Sydney Police Station. Fun fact, there is no basement. And then once I'd seen him do that, and it looked great from the other side of the counter, and he just crawled away. And that's how he dealt with certain stress situations.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Do you remember what the specific stress was? Like, was it really
bad?
There
were too many people. There were just so many people at the counter. Right. It was so chaotic at North Sydney Police Station. Imagine if it's a wet Saturday night. It is pumping. It's standing room only. I mean, it is... And generally, there was only one station constable and the station sergeant, and you may have been lucky... You know, if a car crew... I remember being in the car. If you came into the station and it was just insane, the last place you wanted to spend more than 5 seconds was the station counter, like the public area, because invariably the station sergeant, if he thought you were idle for more than half a second, he would grab you and he'd get you to help process prisoners, take photographs, fingerprints. Look, there were so many things happening. Feed prisoners... get prisoners in, get prisoners out, organise for transportation of prisoners to the Bay, Long Bay Jail. I mean, it's insane.
Right.
And this poor guy, this police officer, he's the same guy, Paul, that someone ran into Chatswood Police Station. He was the only constable there and said there was some sort of drama happening up the street. He ran out of the police station. On foot, with a radio, he left Chatswood Police Station unattended and wide open. So there was no one there. And he's the same guy that went to the Sydney Cricket Ground. All police officers, young police officers, had to do time at the big, you know, like the cricket, for example, where you might have, you know, 200 or 300 police.
Mm-hmm.
And he... famously, and I think it's kind of a beautiful story, but totally fucked up.
Have you told this story before?
Well, it's the one where he got into the lift with all the assistant commissioners and all the most senior police officers in the New South Wales Police Force. Have I ever told you that?
No. Oh, you know what's funny? Every single time I say that, part of me goes, there's going to be some clatch of listeners somewhere in the world going, yes, he said that. He's already told this story
before.
But
it's such a great story.
And tell it to me now, and if people have heard it before, just skip ahead, because I don't remember it.
Look, Paul, in a nutshell, he was a very, very young probationary constable. So he'd been in the job less than a year.
Like your age when you joined.
Yeah, he was in his late teens. He may have been 19 or 20. He was a young-looking guy.
Yeah.
He was kind of ill-suited for the police force on many levels, but he had this kind of sweet naivety, which is pretty dangerous to have that characteristic when you're sort of in a uniform with a gun.
Right.
And he was on point duty at the Sydney Cricket Ground, which means he was doing traffic routines, you know, assisting basic stuff, basic policing. Mm. And it's a shit job, and you'd be out there for hours directing traffic. And he just got tired. So he walked into the members stand of the Sydney Cricket Ground. He gets in a lift with some of the most highly decorated, most senior police officers. And these are high, high-ranking police. This probationary constable gets in the lift with these elderly gentlemen and he just looks at them. And they obviously thought, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you in a lift with us and where on earth are you going? So the first thing he said to these guys was, oh, are you in the band? Which is the most bizarre thing to say, but he said that because of all their epaulets and their decorations. He thought they were kind of like...
like a Sergeant Pepper kind of thing.
Yeah, or Idi Amin on speed, because we know how he used to dress with all these, you know, imaginary medals.
Sure.
But the thing that really caps this story off, Paul, is that he followed these senior officers to the bar and ordered a beer. Now, nothing happened to him because the senior police officers probably thought they were involved in a mass hallucination, because you just couldn't comprehend that a probationary constable would do that. But he did that, and they're the sorts of things. And then famously, I worked with a police officer at Mossman Police Station who used to wear a dressing gown.
Yes, I remember.
And slippers on the night shift.
Yeah.
I mean, and these are the types of, you know, you can put it down to mild eccentricity, but...
Did you remember any of the people that Dave mentioned? He mentioned Ray Hill, who was, I mean, you know, Ray Hill, Tom Flatley, Neil... I mean, I don't know whether I should be naming these people. Also,
no,
that's
okay. These police were there after I was.
Okay.
I left North Sydney in about 1985.
Okay. This guy was saying late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. But look, you know, I'm sure that if you were to, you know, do a bit of a survey today in 2021, there would be some fascinating stories. However, I feel that there would be a lot less colourful anecdotes today as opposed to, I mean, let's face it, Paul, it was kind of a bit of a free-for-all. Mm. I mean, yes, it was exciting. But look, it was bizarre. It was very, very surreal. I mean, the detectives that used to work the afternoon shifts, you know, and the listeners will all recall that they would simply, the only time you'd ever see them was when they came into the station and gave you a tiny slip of paper with a telephone number on it. Mm-hmm. And that telephone number was a restaurant where they would spend the entire shift. And if, unfortunately, something major went down and you had to call them, then you never knew their state of sobriety.
Right, of course, yeah.
So really, really tough times. But, I mean, obviously in every occupation, in every career, and I think one of the more worrying aspects of sort of recruiting in general is how on earth you can sort of really profile all the applicants. And there are so many applicants. And some people that join the police force and other emergency services in the beginning might be, and to use you know, the rabbit fingers, you might be normal, whatever on earth that means.
Yeah.
But, you know, you might sort of fit within a fairly broad spectrum of what is perceived to be normal. And then all of a sudden you go to some horrific incident. And you can unravel.
It just bends you out of shape. Yeah.
And then you've got your private life. And that can unravel. You might have a child who goes off the rails. I mean, Paul, you and I knew a very, very senior detective, family friend.
Mm.
His son did time for armed robbery.
Right.
Now, that's heavy. You know, the sins of the son, the sins of the father, and it's tough. And then people are supposed to just go out and, you know, be super professional and conceal all their
Real life stuff. I mean, it would kind of bend you out of shape a little bit. It would be disturbing and weird if that stuff happened. I mean, if I'd entered a life of crime instead of writing about you for a living, I suspect you would be a little bit weirder, and you're already a little bit weird.
Yeah, but Paul, we'd still love you, as all parents. I'm pretty sure that all parents, no matter what, will go to bat for their kids.
That's I think that's a very sweet assumption, and it's very telling of your faith in people that you would think that. But I mean, that's how it should be. Speaking of your career, last episode we talked about Police Squad. Not Police Squad, not the Leslie Nielsen show. We talked about Police Rescue.
Yeah.
Have you had any more thoughts about that? Have you had any more kind of, have you sat there? I mean, because I asked whether you would, whether you thought you could have cut it. But one thing I didn't ask was, do you think you could cut it now? Do you think you could qualify to get into police rescue now?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And I'd really love it. Because, really? You know, more mature, sort of experience enables you to sort of stand back and not be so so hasty.
Mm.
Because if you go in hard and fast, sometimes that can be it can end in disaster. And that's why, for example, at a fire, at a really big fire, you've got certain officers that will stand back and assess the situation. And you always need people standing back, getting that sort of overall perspective.
Yeah.
Because if you're sort of a frontline shock troop going in, you're very, very focused. Your attention is very, very sort of pinpointed, very specific. And you can, like, for example, if you have to rescue someone, your whole objective, your whole focus is to rescue that person. Like that senior constable on the weekend. Her initial primary gut reaction, taking into consideration all her experience, all her past, would have been to just get in there and save that girl. Can you imagine, Paul, if we had have had senior rescue operators standing around guiding her? My gut feeling, Paul, is that they probably would have offered advice that perhaps would have been contrary to her initial. And that's the thing about, look at the fireys that went into the Twin Towers. They just went in.
Yeah.
And that's what these people do. And that's why you need experienced hands. I'd give it a go. I mean, physically, I'd be definitely up to it because I look after myself. And I think it'd be exciting. And the great thing about these things is that you're doing an amazing, wonderful service. You're helping people.
Mm.
And it's gratifying, but it does take its toll. And not all humans are as resilient as we're not all as resilient as each other. I mean, there are degrees in how people cope with these things.
You say that, but I mean, it takes a degree of resilience, I would argue, in your defense, to dredge up things that you did before. I mean, it takes a certain psychological resilience to actually, you know, you basically relive these things. So I think, you know, I think that's a kind of bravery. Having said that, I think it would be a great next season of the show if we charted your journey trying to get back onto the force. And now that I've said that, I guarantee you people are going to be pissed if we don't do it. But we can't.
That'd be great.
Maybe like a mall cop or something. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of Loose Ends. We're going to see you first thing next week for more Loose Units. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Cheerio.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.